hearing on House Bill 1299 for proponents. Hello, Mr. Wilbert.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, my name is Brent Wilbur. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Office of the Governor. I'm no longer impersonating Tom Adams this morning, but I'm here myself. House Bill 1299 is introduced to clear up a glitch that I didn't even know existed in our perjury statutes. Just for, by way of a factual background, I was involved in a case, actually two cases last year, one of which were in state court and one of which was in federal court. A witness gave a deposition in that case that was clearly not only defamatory, but was clearly perjurious. The witness clearly committed perjury. We knew that he committed perjury, and it was just obvious. There were two actions. One was a federal captioned action in federal court. One was in state court. I had noticed the deposition in the federal court action. After the witness had given the perjurious statement, we referred the case to the Attorney General's office for prosecution. They did some research, and much to their surprise and mine and the governor's and pretty much every lawyer I know, we determined that there are some old Supreme Court cases under the common law that say that under the common law, a perjury action can only be prosecuted in the court in which the perjury was committed. In other words, because it was in a federal action, and even though it was committed in Hughes County, we couldn't prosecute him in Hughes County State Court for the perjurious statement. That, we would submit, is a glitch, and 1299 was submitted to make it clear that if you lie under oath in court in South Dakota, the public policy that people should tell the truth will be carried out, regardless of the court that it was in, either state or federal, in any action or proceeding. And so we think this would clarify the existing common law and result in a betterment of the criminal law in the state of South Dakota. In addition to that, I was given an amendment prior to the hearing by Representative Madsen. It's one that I personally agree with. It's one that the Office of the Governor agrees with. Essentially, it clarifies that if certain magic words are on an application, the person is signing that application under penalty of perjury. I think this greatly clarifies the law as we now have it. It would make things uniform throughout state government. Dave Volk from the Secretary of Commerce is in another committee. He asked me to say that his department is in favor of this. They are the ones who hand out most of the applications. I'm personally in favor of it because it would make people be accurate in their applications for hunting licenses, and there are some problems there. But I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Let me get this straight. You're Tom Adam, David Volk, and Brent Wilbur, but that's not pejorious.
I am merely impersonating.
You
can easily tell the difference between Adam and I.
Yes, sir. That's true. Thank you. Further proponents of 1299. Any further proponents? Are there any opponents to 1299? Any opponents? Hearing none, committee will be open for questions. Representative Monroe. Any questions? Representative Marshall.
Is it appropriate, can I ask Representative Madsen about the amendment?
At that time. Any questions of Brent? Not quite yet, but I'm sure we'll be there. Representative Wilbur? Well, Wilbur. I always wanted to say that. Does anybody have any questions for Brent Wilbur? Hearing none, the committee will be closed for action and deliberation. I'm sorry. Representative Landry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I assume this has to deal with somebody applying for a hunting license that has a felony conviction. Is that?
I probably should have digressed into hunting licenses, but it is a nationwide problem that where you've got a very sought-after application, like a bighorn sheep application, where I've been applying for 21 years unsuccessfully, people will fill out. I might apply as Brent A. Wilbur at my office address, as B.A. Wilbur at my home address, and multiply my chances. Also, it's a problem that when people have their hunting licenses restricted in one state, we now have an interstate compact, and people will apply for resident licenses in a number of states. I've got one of those cases right now, or will apply and not disclose that their hunting privileges have been revoked in another state. And it's that way with the application process throughout our state government system, just in all sorts of applications.
Any other questions of Mr. Wilbur? Representative Gillespie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Wilbur, earlier this session, we had a bill similar in nature to this where I think an issue was raised as to the streamlined application as far as making sure that all the applications have the same type of affirmation at the bottom. So am I understanding you that there will be on applications for benefits for the state of South Dakota that they will all have the similar exact affirmation rather than some just requiring an oath and some requiring just a notary and some just requiring a witness?
I was not the author of the amendment and frankly didn't know of its existence until yesterday evening, and so I can't, on behalf of the governor's office, I can't state for sure that that will happen, but I assume that it would. It would be good government to do it that way to make everything the same.
Chill. Further questions of Mr. Wilbur? No further questions. The committee will be closed for action and deliberation. Let me see. Representative Madsen.
Why, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Yes. Just.
Do you happen to have a motion?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
I move the amendment, which is before everyone, is 1299RA.
Is there a second? Second. Motion made by Representative Madsen, seconded by Representative McCauley to amend 1299, marked 1299RA. Representative Madsen, comments on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, the purpose of the amendment is basically the purpose of House Bill 1225. Representative Gillespie was right. We dealt a little bit with this during the first week. It was a DSS agency bill that talked about basically the idea that applying for state benefits and lying to get those benefits, and that bill dealt specifically with crime victim compensation funds. You shouldn't lie to get benefits, and in that case there was a specific statute in that chapter that took care of it. However, after that bill was amended to take that part out of it, 1225 came into existence, and it's basically a bill that was drafted by the governor's legislative task force. Here's the issue. Let me try and get right to the point. If you were to go online on your computers and go to the state's website, www.state.sd.us, and click on the government section, and then follow down to forms, you can see all of the forms that state government produces for various applications. Most of those are within the Department of Commerce and Regulation, since just about everything that was a freestanding government agency prior to 1973 was wrapped into that agency. And I'm talking about the Board of Dentistry, the Board of Barbers, any profession, almost anything you can think of that requires a permit is under the Department of Commerce and Regulation. And I went through yesterday and I printed out some of these forms. And the deal of it is that these are forms where people are applying for some privilege, for some permit, for some state license. And what there is there's absolutely a lack of uniformity as to the bottom of the forms. Some require that they be notarized, but nowhere in it does the person state that the information is true and correct. Some require no notarization. Some indicate that people must certify that the information is true and correct. So what you've got is you've got a situation where it's not real clear whether a notary is needed or not. But generally the policy statement is that anybody who's asking state government for anything should be being honest while they do it. So hence the amendment, which is a change from 1225, and basically what it does, the amendment would say, first of all, that you've got to tell the truth when you're asking the state to give something to you, like a permit or a license or some privilege. And the other part of it is if you read under, it mimics or copies language that's found in another statute, which is 449, which deals specifically with if you're asking the state to cut you a check, which we all do as legislators at the end of our term when we sign the sheet that's brought around for mileage, we're all swearing on there that under the penalty of perjury, we're declaring that that's all true and correct. And we don't have to have that notarized. And the reason we don't have to have that notarized is because of 449. So essentially what the amendment does is it applies the magic language, which is found in the middle of it there. I declare and affirm under the penalties of perjury that this claim has been examined by me and to the best of my knowledge and belief is in all things true and correct. It, what it says is if that magic language is in the form, it doesn't need to be notarized. So it does, at least in statute, say that all things should be treated the same and that you shouldn't lie to get something from the state. As to whether the forms would actually be redone, I think that would be a task that the agencies would have to undertake. But at least we need the statute to authorize it. 1299 concerns perjury, 1225 concerns perjury. It's my position that altogether they make for one good bill.
Further comments from the committee on the Mattson motion to amend? Representative Marshall.
I'd like to ask Representative Mattson a question.
Please. Ask a series.
One is probably pretty good. I had received a call in regards to, well, your amendment when it was a bill, and concerns that is this possible that in any of our application process this would make it more difficult of a process?
Yes, sir.
Representative Marshall, actually, I think what it does is it streamlines it quite a bit because it, for a lot of these forms, it should eliminate the need for that person to run down to their friendly neighborhood law office or a bank or their insurance agent or whoever's got a notary stamp to be able to slap a stamp on the bottom of a form for an application for examination for certification as registered barber, for instance. That magic language would make it quite a bit easier for people to fill out these forms and submit them. It should eliminate the drive around town to a notary.
Thank you.
Further remarks, Representative Siebert.
Question for Representative Mattson. A notary is that's not an oath type thing, is it?
Actually, Representative Siebert, it is. That's what a notary public is. When you go before a notary and sign and have that notary put his or her seal on the bottom, yeah, that's essentially an oath. If you're verifying before the notary that the information in an application is true and correct, yeah, that's an oath for all intents and purposes. The purpose of a notary public is not simply to say, yes, that really was Lou Siebert who signed this. That's one of the functions, but the other is the notary is kind of the lowest level officer, if you will, who's authorized to administer oaths. So, yes, that's how it works.
Representative Siebert.
Chris, wouldn't it be fair to say that most times when you notarize something, you're really not familiar with the contents of it, is whether it be true or correct, or true or false?
I really think it just depends on what you're filling out. I mean, it depends if it's a form or whether it depends.
Well, you know, I like the changes in here. I think it makes it a lot easier, and I think it's the right thing to do. I guess I was confused about the oath and the notary type thing.
I think that I'm going to take the chair's prerogative. There's a little confusion, I think, in the question. The question that I thought you had asked, Lou, was the impact on the individual notarizing versus the individuals actually signing. Okay, well, the notarization is just saying it was Lou Siebert and that you attested to it or that you were this individual. You are not indicating as to the veracity or the accuracy of the contents. It's just that it was you and that you executed it for such purpose.
However, you may not know the contents of it, whether it's true or correct.
You are not obligated. Yeah. That's not what a notary. Yeah. If Lou was the notary, that is not your obligation.
I'm not taking over a liability because of that.
Representative Hennies. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question for Representative Mattson, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Would this bill allow people who circulate petitions for election to have the election or the petition carrier sign it under this same kind of a thing without an oath?
Representative Hennies, I don't see that this affects that. This is limited to people who are submitting petitions or applications or other information for the purpose of obtaining benefits or any other privilege, and I don't think running for office, at least not every day, is a privilege. But it's I don't think it does, though. It's a completely different deal. And all it does is this gives the option, really, to say if the magic language is in a form or an application, that it doesn't require the notary seal.
This is a little unorthodox, but we're getting into quagmire here, so could you speak to that, please?
Certainly. With regard to your question, Representative Hennies, there are certain specific statutes, very specific statutes, that deal with the circulation of petitions for elections, and I believe those specifically require that they be subscribed and sworn to, and that the person circulating the petition individually observe each signature that's put on it. So I think we're talking about a different process there, which is highly formalized and closely guarded by Chris Nelson down at the Secretary of State's office. And with regard to Representative Siebert's question, I think that's already been accurately answered. You have to look at what the person is signing. It says subscribed and sworn to before me, and then the notary's signature. So that, in essence, that constitutes the oath. If it's a document involving real estate, there's a difference where different statement where the person acknowledges who they are. It's called an acknowledgement, and then it's notarized. So,
thank you, sir. Further questions on the Mattson motion to amend? Any further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Mattson motion to amend 1299, as indicated in 1299RA, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Further action on House Bill 1299 as amended. Moved by Representative Monroe, do pass. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Siebert. Comments on that motion? Hearing none, the question before the committee is final passage of House Bill 1299. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Farley, aye. Gillespie?
Aye.
Hennies?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Mattson?
Aye.
McCauley?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Marshall?
Aye.
Knoxville?
Aye.
Siebert?
Aye.
Calandra?
Aye.
Michaels?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
1299 as amended, carried, do pass, is sent to the House floor. I said. Representative Mattson.
I'd like to move a title amendment to 1299.
Thank you.
On page 1, line 1, after the word prosecutions, insert, and to provide for the verification of certain information on certain state applications or other documents.
Second to that title amendment.
Second.
Moved by Representative Mattson, seconded by Representative Brown, the title amendment. Any further conversation? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Title is amended.